بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. وبعد، in this verse Allah Azza wa Jal encourages those who have brought Iman enter into Islam in its entirety with your entire self, that we do not make exceptions, be selective about certain commands while excluding others, or that verbally we may proclaim Iman, there may be weakness from the heart. Or, for example, a person may be selective in certain injunctions while relaxed and lax in others. So whether it is our aqaid, our belief structure in accordance with Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, in its entirety to believe in everything that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought and conveyed as a matter of deen, be it our ritualistic forms of worship, ibadat, be it our mutual dealings, mu'amalat, mu'asharat, which is our social interaction, social conduct, we adopt Islam in its entirety with our entire selves, and we make shukr and praise and thank Allah Ta'ala, Alhamdulillah, Thumma Alhamdulillah, on the most precious gift of Iman. Iman, belief in Allah and all the essentials of deen without any exception, is such a precious gift that it is only in Iman that a person can attain complete contentment and inner happiness. No matter what the outward situation is, lies only in Iman and the perfect teachings of Islam. In the hereafter, the value of Iman will be realized when we learn from the ahadith of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the very last person, after being cleansed in the fire of Jahannam for sins, may Allah protect us, but because there was that minute amount of Iman on which a person departed from this dunya, the very last person to be given entry into Jannah, call it the lowest rank Jannati, subhanallah, that person will get a Jannat 10 times the size of this world. So how fortunate are we that without any eligibility or deservedness, striving, or even for that reason, ethnic background. These are not the reasons of hidayah towards Iman. This is the sole prerogative of Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. You know, at a time when we are all looking for every means of protection from the virus and other difficulties, then Allah Ta'ala has given us a most potent means, one of the best forms of protection, in the form of the last two surahs, chapters of Quran Azim. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And as far as the situation, the virus is concerned, important that we realize that this is an opportune moment for us to turn to Allah Ta'ala, especially to forsake sin and haram, to sincerely repent from our past shortcomings, do sincere introspection. In many instances, the conditions that prevail upon us is because of our own actions. وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُو عَن كَثِيرٍ. Allah Ta'ala says that whatever difficulty befalls you, it is only because of what your own hands have earned, because of your own actions. And even then Allah Ta'ala treats us very kindly, that many a sinner such that Allah Ta'ala forgives without taking to task in this world and the hereafter. So very important that we turn to Allah Ta'ala with sincere repentance. Very important also as far as our aqaid is concerned, to not make utterances that goes against the grains of Iman as conveyed by our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. To abstain from distorted ideologies in the name of Islam, and we place our trust, adopting whatever means there, and thereafter place our total dependence and trust in Allah Ta'ala alone. Also make sincere dua to Allah Ta'ala for protection of Iman. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. A dua that Allah Ta'ala himself teaches us in the Quran Azim. O Lord, never deviate our hearts after you have given us guidance and continuously confer your special mercy upon us. For indeed you are the one who confers favors in abundance without us being deserving of them. So these two great surahs, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, great means of protection. We look at the, inshallah, today's lesson, two sectors in two parts. First and foremost, these two surahs, their basic meanings, their virtues, when to be recited. And thereafter, the second sector, the continuation of looking at the valuable advices from the book, Desire for the Akhirah, Shauqi Watan. Very basic meaning translation of these two surahs where Allah Ta'ala says, and they constitute in total 11 verses, the two surahs collectively. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Allah Ta'ala says, say, O Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I seek protection in Allah, who is the Lord, the controller of the daybreak, the early part of the morning when the first light comes. Significance that that attribute of Allah is used here, because we know the night with its darkness, many forms of mischief, ill, evil takes place. And with morning light comes a great relief. So that Allah, we seek His protection, knowing full well that ultimately Allah will give us relief and only He can help under all situations. Min sharri ma khalaq. What do we seek protection from? Ya Allah, from all the evil in the entire creation. So two meanings are given of shar, which means ill, evil, bad. One is the resultant difficulties that come about. So whether it is illness, whether it is sickness, whether it is pain, financial losses. The second meaning of shar is the underlying causes that brings about those adverse circumstances. That would be disbelief in Allah Ta'ala, ascribing partners unto Allah Ta'ala, sin and breaking the commands of Allah Ta'ala, contradicting the commands of Shariat. So Allah, we seek protection from both the underlying causes and the resultant circumstances that comes about because of your disobedience. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. And O Allah, I seek your protection from the ill of the dark night when its darkness penetrates and envelops the world. We know the darker the night, the more intense the darkness, the more mischief and evil that takes place, be it theft, robbery, be it in the form of the evil effects of black magic, of the evil eye. Even in the animal kingdom, the attacks mainly take place in the dark of night. So Allah, I seek protection from the evil of the dark night when it penetrates and it envelops the world. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. Pertinent to the circumstances of revelation, Ya Allah, I seek your protection from the ill of those souls or those women who blow into the knots in practicing sihr and black magic. Ya Allah, only in you can we seek protection. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. And Ya Allah, I seek protection from the ill and the evil of the jealous one when he gives manifestation to jealousy. So jealousy means desiring that a favor enjoyed by another person be taken away from that person. That why does he or she enjoy that favor? Whether it is Allah has given that person honor, status, wealth, whatever a person may enjoy, to feel jealous towards that person. The person who is being jealous is only harming oneself. Very great alim, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud al-Hasan, rahimahullah ta'ala, and personally asked him the question, that what is the cure for the spiritual malady of jealousy? And these are the spiritual doctors of the heart. So beautiful words, so simple, but so deep, where he says that if you feel jealous towards another person, then ask yourself, whatever I'm being jealous about, status, name, honor, that person enjoys, who has given it, who has decreed it for that person? It is Allah Ta'ala himself. So who am I to question the will of Allah Ta'ala? The surah that follows, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, where we say again, once again, Allah Ta'ala says, Surah Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that say, أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Ya Allah, I seek protection in whom, in that great being in Allah, who is the Lord, the nourisher, the sustainer of humanity, who sees to every need of every one of his creation from its inception until it no longer exists, in the most appropriate manner at every given stage, that is Allah. And here Allah says, Rabbin Nas. Allah is the Lord of Rabbul Alameen, of all the realms and kingdoms, but human being, the most noble in Allah's creation if one obeys Allah. Second quality, Malikin Nas, I seek protection in Allah, who is the King of humanity. Third, I seek protection in that Allah who is Ilahin Nas, the God, the Deity, the only one to be worshipped by the entire humanity. So you will notice that in the previous surah, we took refuge in just one of Allah Ta'ala's qualities, attributes. Here, we resort to taking protection in three attributes of Allah Ta'ala, very significant. Whereas in the previous surah, we are seeking protection from those ills and evils that have physical effects, be it black magic, be it the mischief and evil perpetrated by the creation of Allah in any form or manner. In this surah, as we shall see, we are seeking protection from spiritual detriment and harm that shows us this is much more dangerous. Spiritual harm, kufr, disbelief, distorted ideas is much more detrimental than the physical effects of ill and harm. And significant three attributes, Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas. We know that in the human journey, there are three important stages, childhood, the youthful years, and old age. And each one of these qualities fits into one of them. When a child is born, one is in need of the basics of nurturing. So Rabbin Nas, the nurturer of humanity. When a person grows older to youthful age, then there is activism. So Allah Ta'ala says that remember that Allah is the King and the most powerful of all humanity. Ilahin Nas, when a person reaches old age, there is a yearning, a desire for some form of spirituality. So the only one to be worshipped is Allah Ta'ala. What do we seek protection in Allah Ta'ala from? Min sharril waswasil khannas. From the evil of the one who whispers evil, but who also retracts and turns back and backtracks. This is elaborated by our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that shaitan continuously whispers evil into the heart of a person. But the moment a person engages in dhikr, in remembrance of Allah, immediately that is such a powerful thing that even shaitan has to backtrack. So we will notice that sometimes out of the blue, evil thoughts start crossing our mind, our hearts. The response to that should be immediately turn to the fortress of Allah, engage in remembrance of Allah, and see how those evil thoughts naturally dissipate, as we learn from this verse. So from the evil whisperer, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, who whispers ill, evil, sin in the hearts of humanity, and who are the agents of Iblis and Shaitan in this regard, مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. So Shaitan, the evil whisperer, and all of his agents, be they from jinn, be they from human beings. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this fact, this phenomena. شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِّ يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. The shayateen, whether they be in human form, whether in the form of jinn, with decorated speech, they try and entice away from the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, take one into deviation, into complete disobedience of Allah Ta'ala by beautified and decorated speech. So these are the verses as far as the protection that Allah has accorded, as we see in very powerful words in these 11 verses. The circumstances of revelation. When were these surahs revealed? When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was affected on one occasion by sihr, by jadu, by black magic practiced by a person called Labid ibn al-A'sam, who flattered a youngster who was in the khidmat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get some of the teeth of the comb and some mubarak hairs of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the assistance of his daughters. Labid ibn al-A'sam, who was from the Banu Zuraiq tribe, formerly Yahud, thereafter a munafiq. They could not tolerate the rampant spread of Islam, and when they were unable to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam physically and stop the spread of Islam, there was this personal attack by means of sihr and jadu, and its effects on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a minimal amount on personal health, etc., on forgetting basic things, but never affecting in any way wahi, revelation, and the conveying of deen. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would feel sometimes extremely weak. These were the evil effects of this practice. And jadu, like other things, cause and effect, just as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would feel the sensation of burning, of heat, of cold. So did this have some minimal impact upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? But definitely nothing to do with the wahi and conveying of deen. So Allah Ta'ala sent Jibreel Alayhi Salaam with these verses as a means of cure, as a means of relieving Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from that. And the details are that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had seen a dream where two people came. They were angels who had come in a dream. One sat at the head side, the other at the Mubarak feet side. So one asked the other that what has happened to him. The other responded that black magic has been practiced upon him. Who has done this? The name of the person is taken, Labid ibn al-Asam. With what did he bewitch him? Mention is made of the teeth of the comb and the Mubarak hairs, covered in a date, dry, dark date bark. Where is it placed? The specific place was mentioned in the depths of a well known as Arwan in Medina Munawwara, under a certain rock. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam awoke, he took Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, they went to that well. And under a rock, exactly as mentioned in the dream, they found the ill effects. These verses were revealed. And as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read and opened up each of these knots, little by little, relief came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when finally all 11 knots, they had blown on 11 knots, putting a pin on each of them in the evil incantations of Sihr of Jadu. When these 11 verses were completed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam felt a complete relief from what had been done for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we find that in these verses of Surah, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, Allah Ta'ala has placed great means of protection. We find many virtues of reading these surahs for protection from physical as well as spiritual harms. Just to mention, the surahs collectively are known as Mu'awwidhatain, the great means of protection. Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala says that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, while he was pulling the camel or the conveyance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَا أُعَلِّمُكَ خَيْرَ سُورَتَيْنِ قُرِئَتَا, should I not teach you the best of surahs revealed for protection? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read to him and taught him Falaq and Nas. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once with Uqba bin Amir, and they were in a distant place between the areas of Juhfa and Abwa, and there was suddenly intense darkness. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throughout that fearful state, kept reading قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And thereafter advised me, تَعَوَّذْ بِهِمَا فَمَا تَعَوَّذَ مُتَعَوِّذٌ بِمِثْلِهِمَا, that use these two potent means of seeking protection, for nobody who has sought protection has ever done so with anything better than these surahs. So with this anxiety, the concern that we have, we try and read these surahs with regularity as a means of great protection. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged his reading on a daily manner, at different times, mentioning that a person who reads these three surahs, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدْ, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, thrice in the morning and thrice in the evening, so after Fajr and after Maghrib, for example, no harm will ever befall a person. So one is to try and read each of these surahs thrice, morning and evening. And thereafter, after the other salahs, Dhuhr, Athar, Asr, as well as Isha, try and read these two surahs at least once. Also at night before going to bed, if we can, we try and sleep on wudu. It is barakah, it is blessings, it is a great form of protection. And when we get to bed, while sitting up, raise our hands as if in dua, read the last three surahs, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ فَلَقْ النَّاسِ, blow into the hands and rub over the entire body, and repeat this procedure thrice. Mubarak habit of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, whenever going through severe pain, would read these two surahs, blow into the Mubarak hands and rub it over the affected place as a great form of protection. So we try and access these great means Allah has given us of hifadat, of protection from the ill effects, physical ailments, but also very importantly and even more importantly from the spiritual effects. Our respected Ustad Azman Shabir Saluji Hafidahullah, under these circumstances, very, very beautifully says that while necessary, our Sharia teaches us to adopt the various means of protection, but also our dependence is only on Allah Azza wa Jal. A beautiful point derived, that just as a person has this fear and aversion for being infected, our aversion and despisement for sin and haram should be even much more than that. Our aversion and despising haram and sin should be much more than our dislike for, and our fear for anything else. After coming to the second part and continuation of our series of the beautiful advices from the book Shauq-e Watan, The Desire for the Hereafter, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahimahullah. So we had completed the first chapter, those ahadith that tells us that apparent difficulties, illness, pain, sorrow, sadness, many benefits for a mu'min as long as one exercises sabr and uses that to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. It is a means, a cleansing of our sins. It is elevation of status. It is a means of a person meeting Allah Ta'ala in the akhirat, completely cleansed like a newborn baby. The chapter that follows thereafter and pertinent to our circumstances from this great book, Desire for the Hereafter, Shauq-e Watan, the chapter is entitled The Virtues of a Plague. One is, first and foremost, we seek protection from Allah Ta'ala at all times. Ya Allah, we are weak. Our tested levels are very, very weak. So first and foremost, we ask Allah for afiyat, for protection. But if one happens to find oneself affected in some way or the other, then hear great solace in these Mubarak words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So natural disasters, calamities, whether they be earthquakes, floods, hurricanes, the spreading of plagues, viruses, pandemics, epidemics, by and large, they are the adab of Allah Ta'ala, but for a mu'min, it is only rahmah and mercy, a means of cleansing. So the first hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, At-ta'unu shahadatu kulli muslimin. And this hadith is in the Bukhari as well as Muslim, that the plague is a means of shahada. It is a means of martyrdom for a Muslim. Person who passes away because of the effects of a plague, then that is nothing less than shahada. And the highest form of death is that of shahadat, where every sin of a person is completely forgiven with the exception of debts that we may be owing to people. So therefore, opportune time for us to rectify our dealings between us and Allah. But very, very importantly, rights that are being owed to other people, go out of our way to fulfill and rectify those. The hadith that follows Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, great Sahabi, through the barakat of the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah blessed him with a photographic memory that he would never listen to any words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except that it would remain in his memory. 5,374 hadith narrated in total. So he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ash-shahadatu khamsatun. There are five different forms of shahadat and martyrdom. Al-mat'unu. The first is that person who dies in a plague. Wal-mabtun, a person who dies from a stomach-related illness, be it cancer or any other form, that is also a great form of shahada. Al-ghariq, a person who passes away because of drowning. Wa-sahib al-hadm, a person who passes away because of something crushing that person, a wall, a building collapsing upon that person, an accident where a person dies because of the impact and being crushed. All forms of shahada, and here is solace if we have lost beloved ones in these manners. Was shaheedu fi sabilillah. And the highest of all, that person whose life is given in the path of Allah for the protection of deen, Islam, and the Muslim ummah. It is the highest forms. There are many other forms of shahada. A person who goes out in the path of learning deeni knowledge and passes away, it is also a form of shahada. A person who dies in protecting one's wealth, belongings, and family in that cause, that is also a form of shahada. The hadith that follows thereafter, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, our most respected and extremely knowledgeable mother, says that I once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the reality of a plague. What are its causes? What do we derive from it? And she says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me that essentially, أَنَّهُ عَذَابٌ يَبْعَثُهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَى. Essentially, it is Allah's adab, Allah's punishment that He lets out upon whom He wishes. However, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَهُ رَحْمَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah has made it a source of great rahmah and great mercy for the mu'mineen, for the believers, that a believer uses it to get close to Allah, to repent from our sins, and knowing that this is from my Allah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَيْسَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَقَعُ الطَّاعُونَ. Any person who finds himself in the midst of the spread of a plague, and thereafter exercises three qualities, and a great promise for these three qualities, فَيَمْكُثُ فِي بَلَدِهِ صَابِرًا مُحْتَسِبًا. That person remains within one's home city. The advice we find from other hadith, if you find yourself within an affected area of the plague, then remain therein. Do not run away to other places, because that is trying to say that if I go anywhere else, it will not harm me, whereas only that comes to pass which Allah Ta'ala has decreed. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was once proceeding towards a plague-affected area, when the mashara given to him was not to go. So somebody said to him, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, that are you running away from the taqdeer of Allah? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, if only somebody other than you of your high stature would have asked this question, yes, I'm running away from the taqdeer to the taqdeer of Allah ta'ala. Running away from the taqdeer, that whatever means are adopted for safety, we use those, but we are running away knowing only that will happen, which Allah ta'ala decrees and wills. So one remains in one's home city, the plague-affected area, with three qualities: exercising sabr and patience, not becoming despondent or questioning the will of Allah, muhtasiban, having great hope in the rewards that Allah will give for making sabr in this situation, and third quality, knowing with full conviction that only that will come to pass which Allah Ta'ala has decreed and nothing more. Whatever means I adopt, only that will happen which Allah Ta'ala wills. So sabr, hope in the reward of Allah, and knowing well that only what Allah decrees will happen. If one adopts these three qualities in response, subhanAllah, what a great promise, إِلَّا كَانَ لَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ شَهِيدٍ, that person will get a reward equivalent to that of a shaheed, of a martyr. SubhanAllah, what great solace in the words of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith thereafter, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَلْفَارُ مِنَ الطَّاعُونَ كَالْفَارُ مِنَ الزَّحْفِ وَالصَّابِرُ فِيهِ لَهُ أَجْرُ شَهِيدٍ. That person who tries to flee and runs away from a plague-affected area is like one who runs away from the battlefield. And the one who exercises sabr in that area, hoping in Allah's rewards, for that person, once again, this hadith backs up that he will get the reward of a shaheed, of a martyr. So that one looks with the gaze of the everlasting life of the hereafter. Alim al-Kindi, rahimahullah, says, I was with Abu Abbas al-Ghifari on a rooftop in a plague-affected area when we saw many people taking their belongings and trying to flee and run away, when he said, if only they knew and realized, and he says for himself, if I lose my life in this, then it is also desirable because it is a form of shahada, a form of martyrdom. Allahu Azza wa Jal, give us tawfiq. Let us inshallah keep our homes alive with dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, with the halqas of ta'aleem, with bonding as a family as much as possible, trying in whichever way possible to benefit and those who are around us, adopting the necessary means, but knowing that our total dependence on Allah Ta'ala, but tilawat of Quran Kareem, halqas of ta'aleem, collective dhikr in the homes. Our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Sayalamu Ahlul Jam'i Man Ahlul Karam, that on the plains of Qiyamah, in full view of the entire creation, all the people on the plains of Qiyamah will see clearly who are the noble, the dignified, those of high status and quality. Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in asked that who will the people of dignity, who will be the VIPs on the plains of Qiyamah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ahlu majalis al-dhikr, that those who had participated in the gatherings of dhikr, those who had participated in the gatherings of dhikr will be the noble, esteemed ones on the plains of Qiyamah. So what an opportunity we have collectively as a family, dhikr of Allahu Azza wa Jal, the various forms of dhikr mentioned, La ilaha illallah, subhanallah wa bihamdi, abundant istighfar, durood sharif, a very profound means of protection from plagues, from calamities, abundant salawat and durood, as well as tilawat of Quran Kareem. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.